It's that time we get our weekly view from the north. Find what he's up to. Comcast Sportsnet online, CSNNW.com. He's talking Ducks. Follow along on Twitter if you dare. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are things in your world?
Man, we got teased with some sun, and now it's just dumping again. This is horrible.
We got the same thing. This is going on down here. The word old comes to mind. This is just getting old. But I refresh my memory. I know you were in Vegas. You were covering something, maybe a basketball game, or you were there for your job, and you went to see something Michael Jackson related. Do you remember? You posted a picture on Twitter or Facebook. What was that?
Yeah, 2 years ago, me and Bree went to see Michael Jackson 1, the Cirque show.
And how was it?
It was epic.
Okay. I wanted to make sure. I just spent $200 a ticket. I'm going to be there Sunday.
It's good, man. It's good.
All right, so my memory in a rarity did serve me correctly. All right.
And I don't mess around. Don't think I say it's good just because it's Michael Jackson. I'm very, very critical of anything Michael Jackson related. If someone screws it up, I will crucify. So if I give it the thumbs up, that means it's legit.
All right, I'm there, and I'm stoked. You sent out a tweet about the decision by the NFL to deny Josh Gordon, the former Brown. And we know he's had some failed weed tests, but you said something that I've harped on for years. You had a guy like Joe Mixon, who didn't even, it doesn't seem like his draft stock was affected. I mean, guy's guilty of violence against women. Is this the ultimate in hypocrisy? What do you find so disturbing about this?
I don't get it. It's baffling to me that this weed thing is still a thing. And I'm not, you know, advocating anyone using any types of drugs. But let's face it, millions upon millions of people smoke marijuana. And it's been proven time and time again that marijuana is less of an evil than alcohol, which is legal. I mean, this is pretty much a fact on any way you want to spin it or shake it. But this marijuana thing with the NFL is still this big enough thing where someone like Gordon can get basically banned. I mean, he's going to end up banned for life. You know, he can't not smoke it. But meanwhile, people who abuse their girlfriends or wives or a random woman in a restaurant like Mixon did can play in the league. It's just it's beyond baffling to me. It's one of those things where you just have to look around and you're like, really, is this still so much of a stigma in the minds of the people who run the NFL that you can't see the hypocrisy in this? Now, again, I guess the league doesn't want their players smoking pot or be affiliated with pot. The NBA doesn't even test for marijuana anymore, right?
Right.
Okay, I've never heard of an NBA player getting high. It's never in the news. You know why? Because the only reason they would ever be in the news is if it were illegal or a thing. So the only reason we know that Gordon gets high is because the NFL keeps telling us.
Right.
They keep telling me the guy's getting high, and I don't care. Let him get high, especially. The other thing, too, the NFL, it's like, it's okay to get your brains beat in. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but we'll spin it or look the other way a little bit if you kill yourself in 20 years. But don't get high along the journey from marijuana. You can from painkillers we give you that could become even more addicting. But, you know, that's a whole other issue.
No,
God forbid you smoke marijuana. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me. I don't get it.
It's the ultimate SMH. continue with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet. So on the site, you wrote about the quartet of Ducks that are going to take part in the NBA Combine. I want to just get a quick read from you on all of them. Tyler Dorsey, who I guess in essence became the first two-and-done for the Ducks, maybe ticketed overseas. If you had to offer an analysis, does his game translate to the NBA? You think he'll get drafted, or is he going to wind up in Greece or something?
I find it hard to imagine that it does. Like, unless if he can shoot the lights out like he did for a month in the postseason, like consistently, then maybe he can find a J.J. Redick type role as a shooter in the league where obviously shooting is a big deal. But he can't really play the point. He's not overly athletic. He's not going to get or create his own shot. We saw that against North Carolina. They're big wing defenders. They just kind of locked him down. He did get a good job getting to the line, but clearly he was disrupted. It's hard for me to believe that he fits. Like, I can't think of anyone in the NBA at the two-guard position that he reminds me of. Like, guys who
right.
are 6'4" in the NBA can either just shoot like crazy or create their own shots, or they're super athletic, and he's none of those three things. So I think he ends up in camp with someone, ultimately gets, you know, released and ends up overseas where he can make a lot of money.
Yeah, so that's not a bad life at all. Then Dylan Brooks, I mean, he almost went a year ago, became Pac-12 Player of the Year. Obviously, he helped take the team to the Final Four, though. Against Carolina and Michigan, he was, how do you view his pro prospects?
You know, I still like him, man. I know, like, I'm talking about Richard Lucas and Orlando Williams have their doubts, but I think he's continuing to get better and develop. I think his outside shot's going to keep getting better. I just love his tenacity, his competitiveness, his willingness to play defense. I think he's going to be one of those tweener guys off the bench. You can play him at the three. You can play him at the two. I just can't see how he doesn't make a team. I look at him around the NBA. I feel like there are guys in that 6'6 range around the NBA that he's just as good or better than. And he does a lot of different things well. Like, he's not a guy who does anything great, but he does a lot of different things well. He's a Swiss Army knife type guy. So I think he makes a team for a while. He may not have a stellar career or be in the NBA or as a starter, but I think he makes a roster.
All right, let's get to Jordan Bell. I don't know if there was a guy in the entirety of the tournament who made a bigger national splash. I mean, talk about the heart of a lion. If you had to guess, what about his prospects? Could he stick as an NBA player?
I think a good team gets him in the first round late, stashes him on their bench, develops him, tries to get him a little bit more of an offensive game. Maybe he plays his way into being an energy guy off the bench and a defensive guy who can fly around and be a Dennis Rodman type. I hate to use that name because we all know how great D-Rod was. But, I mean, if you think about it, I think Jordan Bell showed in college that he's an NBA-caliber rebounder, NBA-caliber shot blocker. He definitely hustles. He has to work on his offense. But, you know, if you can play defense and rebound, I think you can find some playing time. So I think he might land up in a very good situation where he's going to maybe get a few minutes. You know, maybe he ends up being a guy who gets like 8 minutes a game off the bench for a good team and then blossoms in the next few years.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what becomes of him. Obviously, Chris Boucher hindered a bit by the injury during the conference tournament. He's got kind of a different skill set, but, you know, what he does against Arizona State, is he going to be able to do against the Spurs or Celtics? You think the injury cost him getting drafted, or is he going to be one of those undrafted? I mean, again, same question. How does he translate?
Yeah, Boucher is tough because he's not athletic enough or doesn't have the handle enough to really play on the perimeter. Now, he can be a stretch four, stand out there and wait for the kick out and hit the three, but then what do you do with him on defense?
Right.
He can't guard anyone on the perimeter. He definitely can't go inside and guard anyone. Yeah, he can block shots, but, man, if a NBA grown man, power forward, gets the ball and sees him guarding him, they're like, post it up, give me the ball, back him down, dunk him and the basketball through the hoop, and walk down the other side. He's just so slight. So, you know, I could definitely see him maybe end up overseas as well.
All right, and finally, I want to wrap with Duck football as we continue with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. A couple weeks back, somebody tweeted out a picture of some former Ducks and asked, which of these guys would you like to add to the team? So, as you wrote, it appears Taggart and his staff are doing really well out there, bringing in some high-level talent. But you think there's one area or position where they really need to make a score?
Well, yeah. Every time they get a commit, fans are acting like it's the first commit they've gotten in like 8 years. It's just hilarious to me. it's cute. And I get people tweeting at me, what do you think about the staff now? I'm like, I've never said anything bad about the staff. They signed a 4-star DB. Wow, we haven't seen that like since last year or the year before or like every year. You know, so my thing, every time they get a receiver or a running back, or a DB, or an in-state offensive lineman, which they have one now and they got one in the last class, you know, I just kind of go, okay, to me, that's par for the course. I want to see D-line. That, to me, is the biggest thing. If you go back to the start of the decline of things, it all happened on front and on the defense. 2012 recruiting class, Armstead, Buckner, Balducci.
Wow.
Since then, they haven't signed one guy, and, of course, the jury's still out on the guy they just signed, Redmeyer, what is his name? Oh my God. I can't remember his name. Rudder or something. I can't remember his name. My bad if you're out there. Anyway, jury's out on him, but they haven't signed one guy close to those three. Like, not even close to Balducci. And we saw how that impacted the defense. Even last year when the secondary improved, it showed improvement. Well, they got hung off the drive because of the pass rush. Now, linebacker has been an issue too, but they at least have signed some good linebackers. They got a four-star linebacker in the 2017 class, Sampson. They got a four-star commit right now, Adrian Jackson, who are both ranked top 15 at their position. Troy Dye is going to be a monster. But D-line is a thing, man. And right now, so far, this group of coaches has only gotten one four-star D-lineman, and that guy committed to Oregon last June under Helfrich. So far, this group of coaches has not gotten a commit from a big-time D-lineman. Now, compare that to Clemson, who in the last 5 years has signed 10 four-star D-linemen and 2 5-star D-linemen. Yes. One of the four-star D-linemen was Pagano, who the Ducks just got as a graduate transfer, who's coming in as a savior, but he was a part-time starter at Clemson. That shows you the disparity in defensive line talent and depth. And if the Ducks want to get into the national championship hunt, they better sign 2 or 3 Paganos a year.
You're like the guy who I cheated and I went and pulled my recruiting packet, Rutger Reitmeier.
There you go.
There you
got
go.
The Rutger part right. My bad, man.
it's anyway, May.
I'm in summer mode, so sometimes these names kind of slip out of my brain.
No, that's what
bit.
I'm saying. It's May. You can't be faulted for not being in college football mode on May 11th. It's a rule.
Plus, he's only been at Oregon for like a month.
Right. All right. Hey, great stuff as always. CSNNW.com online at Aaron J. Fentress on Twitter. AF, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time, buddy.
All right. Take care.
All right.